Listen in as five friends take turns weaving stories through the tabletop game of their choice. This is 5 GMs in a Trench Coat.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to 5 GMs in a Trench Coat. Today, we are playing Star Trek Adventures, the second edition role-playing game from Modiphius. And, it is GM Adam here, but none of the other five GMs happen to be here, but we do have four wonderful, wonderful guests. And who's our first one right there?
Hello, my name's Anna Margaret. You can find me everywhere on the internet at It's Anna Margaret. And I am so excited to be diving into this Star Trek adventure. My primary character is Lieutenant Commander Terrell. She's Chief of Engineering. She's a bit of a no-nonsense Vulcan. She's got pastel pink hair swept up into a high ponytail. She purposely leaves a few strands out of place. She thinks it makes her look a little bit more approachable. Although, being a fairly stoic Vulcan, I'm not sure it helps. I absolutely love engineering, and I'm excited to go on some chaotic adventures. Supporting Terrell, I have a support character named DeKaylee. DeKaylee's also Lieutenant Commander, but she's more on the command track. DeKaylee is a very hyper, peppy Andorian who is so excited and thinks that crew morale is one of the most important aspects. She's excited to be working with Starfleet on a little bit of an exchange, and she's generally pretty happy and go lucky until you get on her bad side. She's got a very, very quick temper.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And then we will pop on over to our next guest.
Well, howdy there. I'm Adam Teal, otherwise known as Mr. Addup Online. That's M-R-A-D-D-U-P. Today, I am going to be playing Lieutenant Malik Stands. He's an ace pilot, very Southern charm, has the cowboy hat. He's a Trill, unjoined Trill specifically. He's an ace pilot, but may have gone through some tragic past events that kind of scarred him up. So he actually has some robotic pieces on the side of his head. Yeah, and then also supporting him, I am playing Ensign Odo over in engineering. He is the very lovable Orion Ensign who is just trying his best, but also doesn't really get it yet, and he's very new to Starfleet, so give him a little bit of grace. But that's me.
Thank you so much, Adam. And then from there, we'll hop over to our third guest.
Hi, everybody. My name's Katrina. I am Katrina anywhere on the internet. I am a producer, a writer, performer for actual plays, and other assorted things. But today, I am most importantly playing Krishka Shvakrak, an Andorian lieutenant commander aboard the ship. Her traditional role is flight controller, but she is currently supporting at the con. If you are a fan of the Dragon Ball series, I would say that she is the Vegeta to Malik's Goku. She is uptight. She is a perfectionist. She was raised by very strong-minded Andorian politicians, and so she has to be the best at every single thing that she does. And when she's not, she gets very intense and, you know, I don't know, if there's a ship therapist or counselor, she's probably there all the time. despite this, her upbringing is in diplomacy and politics. She has learned a unique language or two in the past, and so she is very often on the away team and pulled away from the con to do missions where that is needed. She's very detailed, she's very focused on exploration, and there's a very secret part of her that is trying to define herself away from her upbringing. And then supporting her, I have Frisket Marlon, Acacian medical officer. Frisket is an overworked, exhausted medical graduate whose ability to nurture does not quite match his ability to emote in a nurturing way. He is an ensign. He's just starting out in the medical division. And even though he really does care about his patients, he is also a little grumpy. So,
and then our last two last two team members, last two crew members that we're going to have in this game, and our last guest.
Hi, I am Brian, aka Urban Bohemian, pretty much everywhere on the internet. Mostly I am a Twitch streamer and TTRPG player performer. Today, my main character is going to be Lieutenant Commander Rudan Ostara, who is a Betazoid science officer, mostly wanted to get away from a little bit of the hedonism on Beta Z, but ended up kind of doing science with Starfleet, enjoys it, and has avoided taking a counselor role at all possible opportunities. Supporting will be Nessa Bimpog. She's an ensign, she's Tellarite, she's security. She insisted on being given a captain's position immediately from the academy, and was told that that's not really how things work here, and she's a bit stubborn about it.
Amazing. So we have our band of eight. You've all been tasked with just surveying right now. You're flying around, checking, I guess, a bit of star mapping, if you will. You're in the FLOSS system. And what is it you guys are, I suppose, enjoying from these missions? What things are bringing you the most gratification in doing something that, well, cool and spacefaring is rather tedious?
I don't particularly experience human emotions in that same way, but the surveying mission has been ideal for getting many of these overworked systems back in order. I have the engineering crew working pretty much around the clock. This is one of our few lulls when we're not actively pushing our ship past what she should safely handle. And so I'm working us all. We are getting things done. Everything is getting put back together, so we're ready for the next catastrophe that we'll inevitably find.
Anyone else have any strong opinions about surveying, or is it just the work?
I think Commander Ostara is absolutely fascinated by any kind of unknown anomalous sensor reading that he can latch onto, because yes, this is a very run-of-the-mill mission, and Rudan, they love a mystery. They came here for the science mystery, so they are looking for anything that's just a bit out of variance, a bit out of scope, and they are just constantly filing reports on any most likely or what are sensor glitches, and is certain that the captain may be kind of done with the stack of reports from the science officer. But you never know. It could be something. It looks like nothing, but it could be something out here.
I'm sure the captain is pretty done with reports at this point, because Kriska has also been filing reports ahead of time. They're, as I said, like a huge perfectionist. So when we were tasked with this mission, Kriska immediately went into research mode and sent through a bunch of stats, a bunch of star maps to make sure that we were already ready to pilot, you know, just in case Malik had a sick day or something. Kriska would be prepared and ready to go. And so being deeply over-prepared, Kriska has checked in with the ship's counselor for her weekly and is now working on surveillance reports at the comm.
And speaking of Malik, I think Malik he's been flying around, but there's been a lot of parking and waiting and parking and waiting. So it's a lot of hours of him with his feet up on his console, which he should not have, and his hat over his, he wears a cowboy hat that is definitely put over his face so he can take naps, but also hides it by going, oh, sorry, it slipped, and acting like it didn't, he wasn't sleeping on the ship, but definitely has been.
Lieutenant Malik, why are we moving? We need to run engine diagnostics. We should be stopped.
Right. My bad. That was I'm going to be honest with you. I slipped a little bit, hit a forward on the thruster. That is my fault. I'll make sure to do better next time. Thank you. Takes his feet off the console and kind of like leans on his hand.
My goodness.
Side eye from the Andorian to your left.
Amazing. So we set this bit of a scene, as much as many of us are enjoying it. There isn't much to do. We appear to be a bit on each other, checking on whether we're doing the right things, checking whether the mundane and simple mission is going appropriately. And thus far it has. Nothing anomalous has occurred. Nothing out of the realm of mapping a relatively undeveloped star system. There's about seven planets. You're on, if all were aligned directly, solstice style, you would be on number five. But since they're rotating and orbiting, this is the third planet you've gone to, but it would be the fifth in kind of a direct order. So this is Floss 5, or Floss, you know, Roman numeral 5. Another uninhabited planet, aside from what appear to be rock crabs, you've checked down, made contact, nothing, again, nothing anomalous, nothing out of the ordinary, just the boring work. But right now, who of you four, or of you eight, I suppose, would be the most keen to receiving a an incoming message for the ship?
Me.
It would absolutely not be me. I resent being in line to take command. I am trying to keep this ship running.
I feel like it actually comes to Ostara's station, but it is Krishka that still manages to somehow pick it up.
So Ostara, you see this, and almost immediately before you could like answer or something, it's like someone checking or picking up the phone before you can. And it is a simple, repetitive series of clicks. No words are being spoken, almost like distant bangs of metal, like someone kind of tapping on metal across the room with a mic on. And it loops about twice and then cuts out.
That was weird. You can kind of see Chris's little antenna like twitching, trying to hear more than they hear. But they'll immediately report it as a strange noise. Captain, it might just be some satellite interference bouncing off of our ship's interceptors, but I don't... The pattern is weird. The pattern is strange.
Would you mind giving me a insight and let's go science?
First roll.
And the difficulty I'm going to set is just a one. It's how keenly you're listening to this. So as long as you roll your 2d20s and roll one under, you got it.
Fabulous. Yeah, so we're looking at 12 and 4. And my insight's at 11.
Yes. So a 12 and 4, that gets under it. You get two successes on that, and you kind of, you keenly listen for a moment. And I think you're even beginning to step away to discuss it with the rest of the crew or discuss it with the captain. And there's the clanging of metal that's in the background, but almost as if the metal has to travel through a full room, you hear what can only be described as the sound of organics. Not necessarily the creaking of metal or the creaking of a ship or any other kind of man-made devices spacefaring devices, but rather the almost, it's so strange to put it to mind, but maybe if you hadn't rolled so well, you wouldn't even come up with this. It sounds the way plants look when they grow, when you see a video of a plant growing rapidly, where someone puts it on a fast track. It almost, it feels like that kind of sound is what's being traveled through to get the clinging, the repetitive cycle.
So I think she's going to report it. In fact, one of Kriska's pastimes is botany. I think she might report it in exactly that way to her commanding officers and say and explain it in such a way that it's like it feels like I'm hearing something unfold. I'm hearing leaves unfurl. I'm hearing growth.
You've reported that up the chain of command. I think there's a beat before it sort of becomes a maybe, I don't want to say a ship-wide issue, but this was a message sent to you from what is now recognized as another SS ship. You guys all are not forced to, but kind of expected to listen to it, see if any of you can pick up what exactly the clanging or repetitive clanging is. And you all hear the same repetitive clunking of something against metal. Does anyone want to take a stab at trying to figure it out?
Yeah, I feel like as this comes through and this broadcast comes through engineering, mm-hmm. I'm going to pause for a moment. And if Vulcans rolled their eyes, I might have. But then this is too interesting. Puzzles are fun. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to say, computer, and I'd love to try to see if any of this matches any of the types of language we have in our database or previous recordings that we would have absolutely. On file. Like if I could just like basically cross-reference the audio against our databases.
Yes. So given that you're going to go ahead and cross-reference it, I don't think that it's going to require any role for that. It's not an outer world language. It's nothing strange. It's simple Earth Morse code, just a choice to not talk, or maybe the inability to talk is occurring, and it is the simple repetition of SOS in Morse code.
Engineering to bridge.
Bridge, we hear you. We hear you.
Has anyone deciphered the Morse code transmission?
Oh, I knew that sounded familiar.
Oh, did she say Morse code?
I was thinking it because I was watching a Western the other. I'm sorry. Hey,
was that a no?
Translate the no. Engineering. It's no. We have not deciphered the Morse code. We just found out it was. Thank
We're
going
to maintain system diagnostics running. Let us know if we need to do anything different. Engineering out. Beep.
Yep. Right, so, and I think Malik just kind of spins his chair around. So it's Morse code that was on there, and like fully doesn't realize that maybe everybody heard that conversation, is fully just kind of in the zone. So we should definitely be searching what that means, right?
Who would continue to, I mean, Morse, okay, so I think at that point, yeah, Rudan is going to absolutely go to the computer, since Morse code is something that would absolutely be in a Federation database, and see if we mm-hmm. can translate what it means.
So again, it's Morse code. It is the first half is a simple SOS. It's a looped. I think part of the problem is that it is a continual loop of clanking, and it's finding exactly where they start the Morse code. Right. It's finding out where the audio starts and originates in the loop will tell you if you're starting at a dash when you should be starting at a dot. We're gonna have trouble. But again, it's a simple task. Fair enough. You recognize it as FLOS-III.
Well, aside from the fact that it is a distress signal, the computer is telling me that it is spelling out floss 3. Were we aware of any other survey missions or ships within range for this survey?
Well, this is the third planet we've been to so far, so maybe it's calling us directly?
Well, somebody would be. I
will note that you don't believe there was any other ships or anyone sent this way to survey, at least within the last 3 years, so it's not quite expected there to be anyone else in the FLOSS system.
Regardless, as a distress signal, we should at least investigate the circumstances. If it may be something that was left behind, we may just be hearing the echoes of someone long gone. However, and Rudan is trying to like keep the twinkle out of his eye, I still feel that we should perhaps investigate. This could be a situation of rescue.
I'll second that. I think going in, towards whatever's making this makes the most sense, especially if an SOS is at the first of it. We Starfleet should definitely be protecting those calling out SOS. Am I correct?
I think so. Yeah, I believe that that would be best. And he does kind of turn to look around the bridge to see if there's any other buy-in on this that we should absolutely veer towards Floss 3, just to maybe just some scans, maybe just visual inspection of the planet, just to see, maybe break up the monotony a little bit. Come on, we've been out here a while.
Even the slightest hint of being part of a first contact mission makes Kriska, there are fireworks inside of her brain right now. And really, I think it's because things have been so boring and she has been doing so much prep work that now she has very little to occupy her hands with. So they're like, yeah, I think it would be smart to follow up on this and just make sure, you know, if there's nothing there, then there's nothing there, but we might as well.
So with the excitement of a classic Starfleet heroics mission, I think the crew gets, and it takes a moment to spread. You guys have just been floating around, putzing around space, checking on uninhabited planets. And then there's this moment of like, oh, we get to do the thing. Not just our job, but we get to be heroes. We get to save. We get to be the forerunners of something. And it kind of quickly washes over the crew as you all begin gearing up to head towards Floss 3. Which would be, again, everything lined up, the third in a line, but you guys are currently at 5 and things are not lined up, things are orbiting. Floss 3 is the pretty much middle, if it weren't exactly 7, I think it's the second from its star. And so it should be functionally just on the opposite side of where you guys are currently orbiting. It shouldn't take you too long to get there, given all your capabilities. Would our pilot like to see how efficiently they can get us there?
Sure. I think as the word is spreading across the ship, there's definitely a tap of the chest and bridge to engineering.
Engineering here.
Bridge to engineering. Gotcha. So we're gonna be investigating that signal. So I know that you are doing some tests on engines, but we're gonna need to delay those so that we can hop, skip, and get over to that next planet.
Okay.
Sorry. Over and out.
I shred a report. Pick up my pad.
I think
Odo's
in the background with like a data
pad. I'm gonna
pad,
prepare
like...
to go to warp. I'll just grab a few incense and put away some of our diagnostic testing material so we can prepare the ship to go to warp.
Yeah. So you prepare for the ship to go to warp. I would like from you, Anna, could you go ahead and give me a engineering role, and then for our pilot, could we get? I think I want a control role, unless you want to pitch me with something else.
That sounds mighty
so is that a control engineering role?
So what I'm going to do for this one is I'm going to combine your guys' numbers. So yeah, you tell each other what the numbers are, and then each of you roll a d20, and we hope we get under whatever your guys' combined numbers are.
Okay, I'm adding a 5 for engineering. And then I'd also love to pitch that I took a maintenance specialist as one of my talents. And so I'd love to add this talent to this check, if possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
4, 6.
And then for control, I add a 12 to that.
So that's a 6 and a 12, we said?
So below 18?
Yeah, that should be doable. Each of you roll one die and then let me know what you got.
I got a 5.
I got an 8.
Amazing. Okay, so with two successes is functionally just being really good at what you do. You guys are professionals. You're out here. You're a well-oiled machine when all things really come down to it. And you quickly get yourselves from point A to point B with very little resistance, very little struggle, no mishaps. It's a smooth ride.
Despite Lieutenant Malik's sometimes dubious antics, I have been attempting to recruit him to engineering. And so I'm fully on board and ready for this.
Prisca is so supportive of this career advancement and is absolutely in his ear every once in a while. Like, you know, I think you should talk to Terrell. I just feel like your brain is better served in a place where it's challenged.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm currently flying, so that's not going to happen right this second. So,
yeah, Malik, every once in a while, there's some kind of just in your space, different things that have to do with the engineering bay, just left around, just sort of almost as like ways to get you to go down there more often. And you're like
a little note that just says, "Can you solve this?" And it's a big equation.
It's logical to explore different career options, especially when your aptitude test in engineering was so high.
I mean, I do appreciate it, but I'm good. Again, still flying, so I can't really come to engineering right this second, but I will check it out later.
Amazing. So you quickly, again, navigate your way here. You look down at a relatively small planet that mimics the way if any of you have ever looked down at Earth on a mission or a Earth-like thing that was mostly water. Instead of mostly water, it's covered in greenery. Nothing diverse about its biomes. They all, even in kind of rotation, are green, aside from the blips of blue that are large, hardly could call an ocean, just large lakes or bodies of water that don't quite expand anywhere. And you're here above this this planet, not quite in orbit. What would you like to do? I'll go ahead and give you guys this this kind of stage here to decide what exactly your plan is.
Well, do we know where the signal's coming from? I could fly us closer to that specific location.
Had we already surveyed Floss 3?
You had not, no. Okay. So you were able to survey Floss 1, 7, and 5.
I think standard procedure is probably best at this point to just give it a planetary scan and survey just in case to see if there are any actual life forms.
Yeah. I think we should see what's out there.
Okay. So with a seconded kind of option here, all of you appear to be on the same level of agreement that giving this thing a scan for any possible life forms will likely be our best option. You go ahead and do that. We're not going to roll for anything here. I think that this, again, is simple enough that it's unlikely for anything to go awry. Unless it was something incredibly cartoonish. You do a quick scan, and the only life forms being returned or being picked up are specifically flora. There appears to be no animal life forms on the planet, which is a bit odd, but it just appears to be a planet of plants.
Do we notice in this initial scan any warp technology? Do we need to be cautious as we engage about the Prime Directive?
That's a great question. So you do recognize that there is warp technology where you might even consider now could be where the ping was coming from. Mm. You're picking up one of your own, functionally.
Engineering to bridge? Captain, I think we might want to form a landing party as I'm noticing in the signal some warp technology, and it might need to be looked over. I mean, things tend to get corrupted over time. It's been a while. It might be good to do a sweep.
I mean, and I think the chair turns around. I mean, Captain, I'd be down to do I'd be down to go to land for a little bit. You know, I could pilot the ship down if you want, or we could. Whatever, I'm game.
I'm still on the communication. Transporting would be most logical, probably, rather than steering our ship to the surface. We are maintaining a steady orbit.
Yep.
Captain.
Sometimes Kriska's just quiet so Malik can be wrong. It's kind of nice. She's just sitting there smiling like, he suggested landing the starship.
That's not me volunteering, by the way.
I don't know. Considering that it was your engineering skills that detected the emissions of previous warp technology, I do believe that your expertise would be helpful on this landing party. Unless you, of course, have a reason otherwise.
That does feel logical. There's a hesitation. I look over at my stack of tests that are currently running. I'll turn to nearby Ensign and say, finish these tests. I need to head to the bridge. Engineering to bridge.
Yep.
I'm on my way up.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So I'll make my way through the turbo lifts towards the bridge.
Yeah, naturally, Kriska's going to volunteer for this. She is an A-type to the point of annoyance, and so she turns to the captain and says, I'm happy to join the landing party and do some recon ahead of time if needed.
Same. Remember, I said it too. I'd like to, if that was okay, Captain, of course. Like, just saying, it'd be fun. I mean, important.
Yeah, Radom looks up from his scanner and is like, this seems interesting, and honestly, Captain, if I don't get to scan something, I'm going to crawl out of my skin.
Hello, hello, Kim here. I hope you've been enjoying our Star Trek adventure so far. And thank you so much to Modiphius for sending us a copy of Star Trek Adventures 2E. And thanks to Modiphius, we're able to give away a copy of Star Trek Adventures 2E to you guys. I'm sure you're wondering how to enter. It's simple. We're going to be hosting the giveaway over on our Blue Sky account at 5gmsofficial.bsky.social. We'll have that handle in our show notes, so you can check there just in case you missed it. Over there, you can find out all the rules on how to enter, like, follow us over on Blue Sky, like and repost the post, and comment tagging two friends that you would like to play Star Trek Adventures 2E with. The giveaway will be open until July 31st at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time. We'll be announcing the winner on August 1st. So, be sure to go enter, and we hope you enjoy the rest of this episode.
You all three get the go-ahead. It's, again, I think that in spite of the level of peculiarity in all planet, a little bit of warp technology, it's still just the absolute excitement of getting to do something that's not just surveying rock planets and rock crabs. Your captain gives you a simple go-ahead. It's nothing grandiose. He's a stoic and silent type.
We get along well. As I make it up to the bridge, I do want to just look over, note who the landing party is, look at the captain and say, based off the distress signal, I recommend go to yellow alert.
Yes. We'll do that. You four.
I start gravitating towards a console and I'm just going to run a few tests just while we're stopping before it goes. Just
Turn off just for a moment. It's okay. You left engineering incapably.
Are you suggesting I'm an android?
Also, what tests were you running?
I'm actually Vulcan, but...
I apologize. That was a very human thing to say, and I did not mean to cause offense. I merely meant that you left engineering in very capable hands. Of course, you didn't take offense. You don't.
That's true. thank you.
Yes.
Well, would you four be ready to go, or are we going to sit here and do this a little longer? We can't.
I mean, that would be your call, I guess, sir.
Are you all ready?
Did the ship scans indicate that the planet is safe to beam down to? Because I wasn't clear if we were going to beam down, take a shuttlecraft.
I think beaming down may be the best option. Everything seemed to be all clear. Nothing to worry about there. Are you done with your scans?
Yes, everything looks fine.
Yes. You feel comfortable and confident?
I made some adjustments last week and happy to report that all systems are operating at 0.2% higher efficiency than previously.
That's impressive. Your comfortability and confidence inspires my comfortability and confidence.
I'll keep an eye on it, but I might end up recommending this to the rest of the fleet. It could be some good improvements. Anyway, if we're going to
surely they all want that.
Yeah, if we're going to go on this away mission, we should probably leave.
Yes, we'll be seeing you and you all. just finally, he's able to get you out of his hair. Hey, listen, you guys are on different parts of the ship so often that it's not really his problem ever. And the minute you're all in one space, it's like, oh, this is unpleasant.
I just imagine the comms going off every time it's the call to be like, hey, Malik, come down to engineering because we want you. And his comm just goes off.
You four are beamed down to what should expectedly be another Starfleet ship. You were given quick data before you left, like a quick bit of information. It read as the USS Kennecott, and it's another survey Starfleet ship, a lot like yours. Nothing enamoring, nothing special. Simple squad doing their jobs, for similar to what you do. Yeah.
Prior to beaming down, I took as one of my talents the transporter chief. And so I'd love to try to open up a channel to the ship prior to beaming down. Just standard procedure.
That's brilliant.
And then if I don't hear anything back, that will just change the way that we beam down with phaser set to stun.
Right.
I'm going to begrudgingly also just peek around. Am I the commanding officer? There's like a moment where Terrell's just like, her face doesn't really move, but there's like a slight frown of like, oh no, oh no, please, please let Rodan take.
Well, this is sort of a multiple equal levels of seniority here.
Yeah, I think we're
I'm just looking at you like.
But I believe I'm fairly confident that Krishka is sort of like in that bit of a position, since, you know, we have engineering, science, con, we sort of all have jobs to do. And then there's Krishka, who is giving Malik the appropriate amount of encouragement on the job.
Yeah, Krishka is on the command track. So, and I believe most of us are either at lieutenant commander or around that. Chris is happy to take the lead on a meeting and also a landing party. And also before we take off, as you're running those scans, Chris is also going to take a little bit more of a look at the ship, if possible, through those scans. One of her focuses is starship recognition. So knowing a little bit more about the make and model of the ship, she kind of takes a look at the build, at the map, to determine exactly where they're going to beam.
As a podcaster, audio and soundscaping are something we spend hours on. But did you know that there's an easy way to bring that into your home games? Introducing Pocket Bard, immersive audio made simple. Pocket Bard is a music and soundscape companion app for tabletop role-playing games. Nothing breaks the flow of tabletop gaming like a clunky audio setup. Storytellers should feel effortless, not distracted by tech. Pocket Bard keeps you present, confident, and ready for the moments that matter most. We used Pocket Bard in a home game recently, and it was easy to use, had a great selection of free scenes, and made my players immersed in the travel session. Gone are the days of skipping a song in the playlist because it didn't fit the vibe. The Pocket Bard app is free to download and already has 17 forever free fantasy essential scenes to get you started. It's available on iOS and Android. Visit www.pocketbard.app to learn more and download the app today.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello,
and welcome to my first dungeon.
Hello and welcome to my first dungeon.
Ho, 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 and welcome to my first dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kumari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
Awesome. That's actually super helpful. So kind of everything you guys just brought is kind of perfect. So firstly, we'll say that on the kind of backwards opening comms or listening mm-hmm. in to try to figure out what's going on with the ship, you don't hear any of the banging. It sounds almost like you're listening into where the message was sent from. Similar kind of auditory ambiance. However, the clanking is gone, but you do, now that it's sort of been referenced amongst the team and amongst the crew, there's this slow like groan of maybe shifting ship, maybe shifting plants or plant life. You know, the entirety of the place is plant life. But overarchingly, it's silent. As silent as any place that lacks living, breathing animals for the moment.
Yeah, we're getting no response from the ship.
Seems pretty empty. Yeah.
That's it. That's what I got.
And then on the verse end, the USS Kennecott is same make and model as our ship. It's known to have had two large damages and repairs. One to like the main hull, it had been struck in kind of a mid-flight situation. It's not like it's one of those things that you were super privy to. You guys aren't very close with the USS Kennecott. You just kind of read it, skimming through the papers or through the access logs. Beyond that, it's just a straightforward, simple Starfleet ship, a lot like yours. Had 15 crew members in total.
Only 15?
Only 15.
Wow.
That's a significantly smaller crew than the USS Socorro.
It is. Which, again, is notable if there are occurrences such as the hull being damaged or something like that. It makes it a lot more difficult to have an all-hands-on-deck situation that is kind of applicable. But, again, you guys were in the outskirts, non-dangerous territory, doing simple survey missions, likely what they were doing also. Ideally, nothing should have or could have happened.
Terrell, can we do a quick search in our records of when the Kennecott was last seen and where it was going?
Certainly. I'll turn to kind of the nearest computer, and I want to take a second and run through the ship, not only our ship, but kind of the logs for where different Starfleet vessels are being deployed and whether we anticipated running into this ship. And also, I think that from orbit, I might not be able to, but it'd be nice to also check the logs of the ship. We might have to beam down before we can actually go through their logs.
We can access those on our end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So you kind of cross-reference where the USS Kennecott might have last been recognized. And it was kind of en route to another star system just outside of Floss. And the last known outside of the SOS that you were just that you had just received, the last known transmission was that they were responding to an SOS themselves on Floss 3.
Lieutenant Krishka, it's we might want to alert the captain that they were also responding to a security threat, and maybe we want to be particular about where we beam down.
Yeah, I completely agree. Chris is going to go ahead and pass that on to the captain and kind of report on parts of the ship that she knows are maybe even like less occupied on the norm. Since this is a crew of only 15, she doesn't really expect that we're going to have to worry about large numbers of people or people aboard. But either way, less occupied spaces might be a better place if we're not using the transporter itself.
Yeah, so you deliver that information to the captain. He's in responding to an SOS. It is a bit odd. Mm-hmm. Let's err on the side of caution and be prepared for anything. And scans had no non-plant life forms.
No signs of life. We might still want to alert Medbay on the off chance we're able to locate any of the crew.
Yes. Yeah. I'll be sure to do that. The four of you are ready and prepared. Anything else before we do our official send off?
I'm going to just like go to the person manning the transporters and just like, it's definitely not needed. They do not need a refresher on what to do, but I'm just like
intense micromanaging.
just making sure things look good.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you want me to do this, right? And now this.
Perfect. And then.
Was it perfect? I could redo it if it wasn't perfect.
It was adequate.
See, so I should redo it. Are you comfortable going down adequately?
Hey, Terrell, would you mind showing me how to stand properly? I don't know how to get. I don't get teleported all the time. You mind showing me how to stand
transported
properly?
Oh my gosh! And I'll kind of walk
my
up.
My bad.
I think Radon looks to the transporter chief and is like, "Just keep a lock on us, just in case."
Yeah.
Whatever's been down there has been down there a while, so I want to make sure we can, skedaddle if we have to.
Yeah, things are seeming a bit off. I'll be sure to keep as close of an eye on you as possible and keep a little exit if necessary. So we've done all of our kind of diagnostics. We've done all of our touch bases. We've micromanaged some workers and some crew members. And I think that we are ready to attempt to make landing. Alrighty, guys. I would like from each of you to describe to me how it feels to be teleported, transported, beamed, whatever we want to call it. How does it feel? What does it make you get a headache after? Is it nothing to you? What is your experience in this?
So, out of character, I was at Universal Fan Fest Nights recently, and they're transporter beam was just a bunch of wind that blew in your face with like light effects on it. So I think Kriska's like hair is a little messed up. Like it's been blowing in the wind and she's just like blinking a couple times, like the light and the that's like the sensory effect she has.
Mm-hmm.
I think Malik appears with the lights spinning around him and his eye has dimmed as his electronics have gone off and he keeps slapping them and all of a sudden they like click back on and he's like, okay, yep, that's a headache. Okay. Woo! Okay, I can see again. We're good.
I'm going to make a few notes. Since I took over the transporter's duties probably like maybe a few months ago, I've been slowly working on just some like standing data for how our transporters are working, because really we're breaking people's into down to their very molecules and then reassembling on the other side. Even setting aside the philosophical implications, we need to make sure that our transporters are working efficiently. And I did notice a little bit of a wobble as we were, stabilizing as we landed. And so I'm going to make a few notes on my pad, and I'm going to make sure that my phaser is out and set to stun, because I do remember some of the basic procedures for away parties, even though I rarely go on them. I'm just going to kind of mentally go through like, okay, phaser. Oh, there was a bit of a wobble. Okay. Some crewmen look in distress. And I'll just make some notes.
I think we're done because, like, you get used to it on Beta Zed of just like feeling emotions and thoughts all the time. But since coming to work on Starfleet ships, every time we beam out, he's fine, but he picks up on like just a touch of anxiety and nerves from every species, even Vulcans, like just a little bit as we had. And then there's just this kind of satisfied, nobody actually physically checks to make sure their body is there, but mentally, like, they are. And then he sees Terrell taking a note, and he's like, oh, I guess there was a little variance in the annular confinement beam, so we should probably... I'm not saying that you were right about the transporter chief not doing his job right. I'm not saying that. I am saying that perhaps you should do more diagnostics, and I know that your department is very good at those.
Agreed. I add a little supplemental note of your affirmation that you noticed it as well.
You four, again, come to quick look around, quick conversation, gathering yourself. It's fairly dark, but that's expected. You're being beamed inside of another Starfleet ship. But two things of note that I appreciated and thought were very particular were, one, a discussion about the operator not maybe not necessarily not doing their job efficiently, but as you look around, maybe they didn't do their job right. You all hear the kind of sticking shoes or sticking boots as you look down, and you're standing in thick viscous, almost congealed fluid, hardly moving, but definitely sticking. It's almost like you're standing in tar. And then you look around, and everything has this... the only bits of light that are getting into where you are this green hue, that whatever light is passing through what's covering you is passing through something. And you see bits of what can only be, I think especially for, I believe we have a botanist with us, yes?
Yes.
It's like when you hold a leaf to a light and you see just the incredibly intricate inner workings. And you're covered by that. That's what the light is shining through. And it must be, or maybe is, the light of the star that kind of rules the solar system. You're not where you're supposed to be. And then I think on that note, there's an additional beat of, like you mentioned, teleporting is being departicleized and reparticleized. It's light and photons and breaking beings down into these little things, and God forbid something can interact with that.
I'm going to look over to you, Lieutenant Kriska. Oh, I had my doubts about Ensign Murray Clark.
I completely hear you. The first thing I want to try and do is get a diagnostic scan on whatever we're standing in right now.
I pull up my communicator. I'll tuck it away. I'll defer to Lieutenant Krishka's directive.
Yeah, there's already, like, Radahn has the tricorder out and is even like using the little, is even using the specialized like probe from it around. Just, I guess, is going to point it downward first. Because what are we standing in, people?
Yeah, so that's okay. I'm going to need a couple of things from some of you and one thing from all of you. I would like a fitness and...
Oh, no.
Let's just say fitness and command. It's just, this is more just your ability to move around in this space. Yeah, I'll need two successes.
Oh, so the difficulty... Okay.
The difficulty is 2, yeah. So between 1 and 5, it's 2, yeah.
Okay, so 9, 12, oh dear. Oh dear.
An 8 and a 10.
Okay. How is that to your... I don't have your character sheet.
Oh yeah, my fitness is 7, which I'll assign the 8 to because it's the first die. And then my command is 3, and my second die is 10.
Okay, so I... I believe it's the way it works is you combine the two attributes and then you have to roll under what the combined number is.
Oh,
so I think that should be better for you.
Then I'm good.
With a fitness of 9 and a command of 4, I need to get below a 13. I have a 5 and a 13.
Perfect. So that will be 2 successes for you.
Okay. Yeah, I needed to roll under a 12 and I have an 8 and a 12. So 2 successes.
Amazing.
I am sweating over here in this ooze.
We are skirting by the skin of our Vulcan ears.
My command is 3. My fitness is 7, so that's 10. And I rolled 2 17, so that's 2 failures for me.
Oh, oh no. Amazing.
Oh, I told y'all going into this was going to happen.
It's because of your headache. It's because of instant Murray
your
Clark.
Your balance is thrown off just a little bit, yeah.
And then what was the, Katrina, what rolls did you get? I apologize.
Sorry, mine added up to a 10, and I got an 8 and a 10.
Amazing. Okay, so that's 3 of our team members here, our landing party, succeed. Well, you 3 all realize almost immediately that as you move your feet, you need to be very, very cautious about how you do it. I don't know if any of you personally have ever been stuck in mud, but if you try to yank your foot out and the other foot either like doesn't come or you're a lot more stuck than you realize, there's this kind of disbalance of physical pressure and you will eat it. Like, you will fall. And so the 3 of you managed to pretty successfully kind of navigate that. However, you see your 4th team member here yank 1 foot free. And it, I think even in doing that, it leaves the boot behind. Like, this gunk you're stuck in is incredibly sticky. And then you can't quite gain balance as the other foot can't move. There's just not enough pressure to kind of balance it out with the kind of off put of 1 foot no longer applying muscle, and you begin falling backwards.
With higher than human Vulcan strength, would I be able to like attempt to catch? To catch him, I took the value crew comes first. So I think in this moment, I think that I would try to lean forward and see if I could assist.
Okay, so I have 2 options for you here. Then you can either guarantee you catch and protect him from falling. In doing that, you functionally jump under and you fall. You end up on the ground instead of him. Or you can take a roll of fitness, and then I'll go ahead and let the discipline be your choice, whatever makes sense to you. And then I will need 2 successes on those.
I'm going to attempt, I'll attempt to roll for it. I think that I'll take fitness, and I'll take, if you'll let me, because I am Transporter Chief and right. Chief of Engineering, I would love to use engineering with my talent of Transporter Chief to be like, I've had some messy landings before. As I've worked to train this crew, I'm aware of their incompetence in many areas. And I'd like to think that as soon as I note the variance in our landing sequence, that something's off and I would like to try to lunge. So I'm going to try to roll, if that's okay.
The way in which you pitched that was so beautiful that absolutely.
Okay. So in that case, it will be a 9 plus 5 plus 1 for I'm rolling okay. below a 15.
Sounds great.
Okay. That is a 9 and a 6.
Amazing. So you again, you're aware of the incompetencies of your crew, of the team. You've seen people biff it on transport, on teleport. You've seen people fall. And you quickly, I think you had already sort of freed up your feet as they were. I think it's even notable that you didn't appear standing and sink in. You appeared a bit sunken in. You were teleported a bit sunken in. That is of note. And I think you recognize that with this. And then you swiftly kind of catch one arm and allow a rebalance to ensure that we don't have any of our four members fall directly into the
Lieutenant
school.
Malik, I do apologize. You even noted Ensign Murray Clark struggling with the initiation sequence. I apologize. I'll make sure. I'll discuss it with him when we return to the ship.
No, you're fine. I appreciate the save there, or I would have been in... whatever this, for lack of a better term, goo is.
That's a good question. That brings up a good point, Lieutenant Grishka. What is this?
Yeah, I'm definitely scanning. They're scanning the goo, or whatever this viscous substance is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, as you scan it, I would like a science. Let's go a science and reason roll to see if you can really put together what exactly it is outside of what you're able to get told.
All right. I would. Because we are already not landing where we were supposed to beam in, I would also like to apply the value. Sensors can't tell you everything because they clearly didn't.
That's that's actually so good.
So that was science and reason?
Yes, science and reason.
Okay, so that's 13. I wonder. Okay, so Oh no. One of them is a success and the other is a 20.
Okay. Wow. So that's a problem, bad. Right?
That's a problem.
Yes. I do think that this kind of sets a perfect stage for us figuring out exactly what it is. So I do like it was a one for a success. So we're going to go ahead and give you a success with a complication. So firstly, with the success, you, through science and reason, quickly denote that you're inside of a plant. But not like you're standing inside of the bark of a tree, but like you're in the maw of a vase plant.
Oh,
or the
no.
The jar plant, something like that. On that, with the complication, it's sap-esque, hence the immense stickiness, but it's not just sap. It's also broken down biomatter. Not a lot of it, but an amount of it. And then there's just as three kind of blobs land on your arm and immediately begin to sizzle and sear as our complication. How do you respond to pain?
Oh no.
Wild.
Not well. Mostly first it's the surprise at realizing there's a whole, like, there is a journey that they go on, realizing that we are inside whatever this planet's version of a carnivorous plant is. So as he's about to yell, "Don't touch the goo," this happens. He is like immediately startled, and it is like he's not a stoic person. He's actually a very like friendly and outgoing person. This is just straight up like wussy, like no, off me, get off, no. Yeah, don't touch the goo, and it's probably gonna we need to do I need to rip this off? Is this like, do you think this is like I can rip the sleeve? It like
As you kind of let out a bit of a yelp and you move kind of abruptly, There's been two motions now that were close to falling or that were a little more intense than just a step. And the entirety of what you're now, that you're being told or recognizing that it's a plant, the entirety of its inner flesh begins kind of pulsating and moving. It knows lunch is here.
I know too much about how these plants work, and we are... Oh, no. Oh, no.
Nope.
Okay, sorry. I think... Yeah, real... Okay, so... Composing himself. Lieutenant Krishka, this is a... we should not be here. This is bad. However, this is... plant life. It sees us as its prey. Do you have any expertise that might... We saw light coming through, like, you know, we saw light, so I'm wondering if there's a quick way, or putting the tricorder kind of away and reaching for the phaser, is there a quicker way out of this?
Quick check with the GM. So we're in a plant on the ship. On the starship?
You're not sure. You just know you're standing inside of a large plant.
Okay.
So that's the thing is, how would you put it together? You were ideally being beamed to a starship, and now you're inside of a plant. You're probably on the starship if all of your mechanics and everything worked correctly, right? If our engineers are doing their jobs, you should be on a starship, and there just happened to be a plant inside of it.
Okay. All right. So the thing that Krishka knows about carnivorous plants is that being consumed by one is very long and painful and unpleasant. And so while Krishka is not naturally compelled to destroy plants, she is intense. That is an Andorian quality. She is also about, you know, getting the job done quickly. Her talents include precision maneuvering, evasion. So she would like to look toward that light so she's at a point where it's like, do we want to shoot our way out? So the first thing we should do is contact our transporter and see if we can beam out real quick. And if we can't beam out, then, you know, her hand is on the phaser.
Who wants to do contact?
Are we doing handheld communicators or, yeah, because we'd be doing handheld.
Yeah,
TOS. TOS.
Away team to transport,
So, yeah, definitely whips out, makes that awesome noise. Commander Star of the Socorro, do you read?
There's silence.
Repeating, Commander Star to the Socorro, do you read? And he's fiddling just to make sure, like, there's no frequency that he needs to grab.
I fiddle over your shoulder.
as the two of you fiddle, again, just a motion of this plant just existing. You fiddle and you kind of hit every frequency you should or could, backup frequencies. It's a you problem.
All right.
It's very quickly you can deduce wherever you are, whatever's going on.
Oh, like it's a localized.
It's a localized problem. Yeah.
We're getting interference from our location. We'll have to move if we want to communicate.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, folks, this thing is alive, so we may have to compel it to open whatever mouth it has. And so, like we can see that light from the top, and that's a thin layer, but we need to be able to... I want to make this thing spit us out, essentially, which, essentially, that means... And then she turns her phaser to the ground. Maybe we can give it some acid reflux. How do you feel about that, cowboy? Does that feel...
I think it, like, Malik has, like, balanced himself and is putting his shoe back on, like, fully, like, the Zen pose of, like, being able to squat down. I'm actually able to do this. That's why I'm saying, like, he's kind of in that, like, squat where you have the leg on the other leg, puts the shoe back on, pulls his phaser out, aims it down, and goes, "Your call, Captain." It's just waiting for the call.
All right, let's do it. Everyone at once, if we can. I don't want to irritate it too much. We want to compel it to get rid of us as quickly as possible. Thankfully, digestion is not a quick process, so it can only be compelled to get rid of us the other way.
Is this a stun, or is this a... just making sure I understand the protocol?
Yeah, let's set phasers to stun and see if we can get out of here.
All right, so I'm not going to make this a roll. You're using a tool. It's not like there's something trying to dodge you. You're shooting what you're standing on. And as you do, the kind of the constant motion of it continues, and from the walls of what you're surrounded by, more liquid begins building up and coming down. It is slimier in nature and less sticky. It's almost, for our botanist, you might think it's water content. Obviously mixed with a myriad of things. It smells sweet. It's a little thicker than traditional water as this begins filling up. You're getting little like stings and burns just from the fact that the digestive fluid was at your feet, kind of not ready to digest you. But whatever this is some sort of defense mechanism to bubble up and kind of spurt you out the top. It happens relatively fast. Most things get stuck inside there very quickly and also don't have phasers set to stun. And you guys kind of plop out. Could I get fitness? And I'll go ahead and allow you guys to pick the secondary roll just to see how well you guys land from getting spout out of this thing.
Oh my goodness.
And I just need one success.
Okay. All right. I have two successes under my fitness.
Perfect.
So my fitness is a 7. I did a 4 and a 6. And then I guess my secondary would be like, I'll just choose command again if that's...
Yeah,
she made
great.
A decision, so...
Could I do fitness and con? And I have a focus of precise maneuvering. Mm-hmm. So essentially it's because of all of his time flying, he understands how to maneuver himself through the air so that
absolutely,
he doesn't just
yeah.
go crashing into a wall. And I have a 7 fitness and a 5 in con. So, and I rolled a 7 and an 11, so 2 successes.
Amazing. Okay.
I'm going to pick fitness and science, and I'm just going to quickly do the calculation for parabolic motion and try to... make sure that I will land aptly. And so that's a total of 14. Wait, let me do the math again. Fitness is 9 plus science is 4, so that's a total of 13. And I got a 10 and a 5, so 2 successes.
Amazing. Yeah, by the time you've hit the climax of the arc, you're able to kind of orient yourself perfectly to land. Almost like a gymnast who's at the like peak of their like bound, you know?
So good. I went with fitness and medicine just because like he's concerned that like a self-preservation kind of situation. And so that's a 9 and 3, 12. And I rolled 2 tens. So 2 successes.
Amazing. The 4 of you are spouted out of this pot of plant, right? It is in itself, as you kind of look upon it, is this 10, 15 foot tall belled plant that is about as wide, maybe doubly as it is tall. And you've kind of been spat out to the outside along with a bunch of, at this point, what you must recognize as sugar water. It's sweet. It's still a little sticky. You're covered in it. You all kind of have landed on your feet. You take in the planet and the scenery around you, and it's writhing and plant life in constant motion. The leaves kind of, the leaves on trees that surround you filt and bend almost in recognition of you. You give off heat, you give off CO2, you give off a lot of things as a living being, and these things are recognizing you. You see them moving. It's uncanny because for all the times you've used the sciences to scan life forms, this life form, these myriad of life forms, the writhing vines and the floor that you cannot see, all of it is scanning you in a sense. And I think that's where we're going to end the session. Yay!
Oh, incredible. Okay.
Out of the plant and into the plants. Plant.
This just went like 50s horror, and I am so here for it.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm all about it.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Five Gems of Trenchcoat. This has been a wonderful game where we played Star Trek Adventures, and my lovely, lovely guests were fantastic. This is so much fun playing with them. They're doing an amazing job, and I think that I'll go ahead and pass it over to our first guest. You heard her voice at the beginning, and you'll hear it again right now.
Hi! Thank you again so much for having us. This is such a fun adventure, and I'm so excited to be exploring this creepy planet with all of y'all. As you mentioned, my name's Anna Margaret. You can find me everywhere online at It's Anna Margaret. I make nerdy science content that has to do with pop culture. If I think that when this is coming out, we're right before Gen Con, so if you like Star Trek and you like adventures, I will be GMing the Star Trek Adventures live at Gen Con. So come see another Star Trek adventure and hang out with me again.
Amazing. Yay.
Yay. Love you all. Thanks again for having me.
And next up, you've heard the banter. You love the character.
Well, you're too kind. Hi, I'm Adam Teal, otherwise known as Mr. Addup. That's M-R-A-D-D-U-P, he, they pronouns. You can find me online under that name. I voice act, I TTRPG play, and I cosplay. And in fact, if you want to meet me in person, I'm going to be at MagicCon in September. I'm one of the guests going to MagicCon this year. So you can meet me in person there and play some card games with me. And also, pretty soon you should be able to hear me over on Tales Archived, because we are playing through a pirate long shot that we have been prepping for over a year. It's really incredible, and I highly suggest listening to it.
Okay, thank you guys so much. Go check our first two guests out. And now for the next guest.
Hi, everybody. I've been O'Katrina. That's O-H-C-A-T-R-I-N-A anywhere on the internet. I co-host a bunch of podcasts. I do a lot of things, but my most precious thing right now is my nerdy beauty company, SideQuest Cosmetics.
Yes.
You can find us at sidequestcosmetics.com. We make all sorts of wonderful things for everyday beauty and skincare wear, and also really cool cosplay items. And by July, we should be ready to announce our next big collection, which is going to be a lip and tint collection inspired by romantic book tropes. So please do go check that out. Our first collection is a collection of lip balms inspired by TTRPG characters. And I do all sorts of things. So please do check out my socials to find out whatever future Katrina is doing.
Then we have our last but absolutely not least, this has been a fantastic cast, and I can't wait for episode 2, our last guest.
Hi, I am Brian Gray, he, they pronouns. I am also known as Urban Bohemian. I'm not going to spell it. It is Urban Bohemian. It is a lot of letters, which is why I'm not going to spell it. Pretty much everywhere on social media. You can catch me mostly streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/Urban Bohemian. When this comes out, I probably won't have any conventions coming up soon, but I am always at PAX Unplugged every year. So if you want to come hang out, talk tabletop and TTRPG nerdy stuff, find me there. Otherwise, find me online. This has been a lot of fun. I cannot wait to see what happens next.
Amazing. Again, thank you all for listening so much. This is a really fun game. If you want to see more, we're doing the we're
saying live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. You can't see us, but just know we're doing it. But again, if you like this game, you got to check it out. I believe we're doing a giveaway, so you're gonna go ahead and do all the fun stuff that I don't have the answers to right now. You'll see it in post. I promise. I'll probably redub this. But
on future top of that, if you love this game, has all the info.
We'll have all the info. If you do love this game and you like the way we're playing it here, obviously come check us out more Five Gems of Trenchcoat. We have a bunch of other miniseries, a bunch of other things, so many seasons at this point. But also go check out Anna Margaret's live game. That's sick. Anna Margaret's amazing, so I'm sure you'll see amazing stuff. Check out everybody's shows and things here. These are four wonderful, amazing people, and I'm having so much fun playing with them. And I can't wait for episode two. Bye-bye. Bye.
Hello, hello. Thank you for listening to 5GMs in a Trench Coat. Be sure to follow us on social media at 5GMs in a Trench Coat on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok, and at 5GMs Official on Blue Sky. You can also check us out on our website, 5GMsinatrenchcoat.com. We're also on YouTube. Just search up 5GMs in a Trench Coat to watch us play video games and other variety content. If you like this episode, please rate us 5 stars and leave a little comment. If you'd like to support us further, you can leave us a little tip on our Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/5GMsInATrenchCoat. Thanks, and catch you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to 5GMs in a Trench Coat. Be sure to follow us on social media at 5GMs in a Trench Coat on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok, and at 5GMs Official on Blue Sky. You can also check us out on our website, 5GMsInATrenchCoat.com. We're also on YouTube. Just search up 5GMs in a Trench Coat to watch us play video games and other variety content. If you like this episode, please rate us 5 stars and leave a little comment. If you'd like to support us further, you can leave us a little tip on our Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/5GMsInATrenchCoat. Thanks, and catch you on the next episode.